Well, it's great to have you with us this morning. My name's Joel Wells. I'm the lead pastor here at Harvest City Church, but I'm not going to share the Word of God with us today. We have some special guests in the house this morning. We've had our LifeLinks conference in Winnipeg. LifeLinks is the network of churches that Harvest City Church belongs to, and we had our big annual conference in Winnipeg this past week, and as part of that, Joel and Hannah Dumain were there as special guests, and so we brought them to Regina so that you could hear from them this morning. You might recognize their names. We've talked about quite a bit about them over the last year and a half. Hannah was in our church about a year and a half ago. She came for the Prophetic Pursuit Conference that we hosted here, and we had her share for about 10 minutes on the Sunday morning about what God was doing in Quebec, and something stirred in our hearts, and many of you came up to me afterwards and said, I like that lady. We should do something in Quebec. We should get involved in Quebec. And that started a bit of a journey of just some Zoom calls, getting to know her husband, Joel. We share the same name, but his name sounds a little better just because it's French. Joel. I have two dots above the E on my name now on my door, just so you know, in my office. I don't mind being called Joel. It is very romantic. Whenever Angela says, Joel, oh man, I get excited. Anyways, enough about that on a Sunday morning. Over the course of this last year, got to meet Joel through Zoom, and then this summer, Joel and Hannah came to Uganda with our team, and so you're spending 3 weeks in Tanzania as well, and I was just so blessed to see their hearts, their passion for Jesus, their love of fun. They're fun people as well as passionate people, and Joel has a real gift to communicate. They both do. And so I just want to welcome them both this morning. I think, Hannah, you're going to bring a little greeting, and then Joel is going to preach for us. So why don't you come on up, guys? So thrilled to have you here, and Joel for the first time in our service.
Good morning. Okay, I need to see, where are my Uganda friends? Where are those that were with me in Uganda? Oh, come on, my friend. It's so good to see you. I saw Anatoly, of course, but where is Jumi? I saw Jumi too, right? Anyway, we connected in, we had such a great time in Uganda. And then I wanted to also ask, are there any French people in the house? Y a-t-il des Français? Ah, bonjour. Bon matin.
Bon matin. C'est
un plaisir de vous voir ce matin. I just wanted to say hello because 2 years ago when I came, there was a heart connection with this house, with Diane, with Joel and Angela. And I just wanted to say hello. Basically tell you guys, I've missed you guys. It's an honor to be here. And it's an honor to have you guys here, my better half, this morning. If you liked me, I think you'll fall in love with him. But he is coming back with me. And just saying this, when I call my husband, I actually call him Joe, very rarely Joel, unless I'm a little upset with him. So that brings down the romance.
Less romantic.
Brings down the. But I did want to tell you guys, I know we'll be talking about our ministry in the next year, but if you guys want to see generationsunite.com and just start praying for us, because God is doing a work amongst the French in Quebec, and the body of Christ of Quebec needs the body of Christ in Regina. Amen. We are brothers and sisters, and we need you to be praying with us. So I won't say more than that. I know that you guys are already doing it, and I'm grateful for it. But I especially just wanted to say hi. So bless you this morning, and enjoy this guy.
Thank you, wonderful wife. Wow, the clock is already running. If God can stop the sun in the sky, 35. All right, can we add up 8 minutes, please? All right, thank you for having us. I got so many stuff to share this morning, so I will jump right away. But it's a blessing to set our feet in Saskatchewan for the first time. And thank you for having us. And you're going to have to bear with my French accent for the next 35 minutes. I always have a disclaimer. In French, we don't know what to do with the H sound, all right? We only have 25 letters, almost. And so if I say the word hope, I probably meant hope, all right? All right, so bear with me. So if you don't understand a word, add a H or drop a H, it probably make more sense, all right? And this morning, I want to share about hope, all right? And thank you very much. Don't go too fast, man. You'll regret it. Anyway, I saw coming in that one of your slogans for the church is giving hope. You can say it with me. Giving hope. All right. So I have two titles for this sermon. You can choose. It's like when I was young. You can choose the end of your book. You remember people from my age, right? You could choose the end of the story. Like if you want Optimus Prime to beat Megatron, all right, go to page 25, all right? People remember that, or I'm that old? All right, please help me. Raise your hand. Guys, are you there? Or I'm speaking French right now. All right, so there's two titles. Choose the ending for you, all right? The first title is Hope is Rising. Come on. Hope is Rising. The other one is the art of expecting His glory. Come on. I believe we need to develop in our lives the art of expecting more glory. Come on. Who wants more glory in his life? Come on. I believe there's a need today for a church, for a company of believers that will be full of hope. You want to say it for me, eh? And I believe that Christians that live without hope or with little hope live below what Jesus has for us. So you agree with that this morning? So this morning, my goal is to bring your level of hope, your level of giving hope higher for Harvest City. I'm not saying there's no hope. I'm saying there's more. Come on. There's no end to hope we can carry. Come on, to this generation. I want to make you, I'll go up fast, Joel, but I won't make you, there's some dope pushers, but I won't make you hope pushers. Can Harvest City become the hope pushers of Regina? And you go to Dolorama. You say, hey, I don't know. I never bought dope, but I'm just thinking it works like that, all right? Hey, do you want hope? Because I have good hope. Do you want some? Imagine if Harvest City will walk in this town, come on, and becoming hope pushers. Come on, I got good one. You want more? Come Sunday at 9:15. Come on. And we need to sit our hope on that verse, Colossians 1, verse 25, 27, that says this. Paul is speaking. I have become its servant, meaning to the church, by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. The mystery has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but it's now disclosed to the Lord's people. All right? There has been a secret kept, but now it's disclosed. Now that secret is out. And that secret is for you and me today. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is what? Christ. Oh, you guys thought you were having the answer, eh? It's almost that. But the secret is this. This mystery is this. You know that verse, guys. Christ in me is the hope of glory. Come on, say it with me. Christ in me is the hope of glory. Come on. You're not excited? You should be excited just saying that verse. Come on. Say it again until hope is rising even more. Come on. Christ in me is the hope of glory. Come on. Just that you'll feel, oh, come on. There's another version that says living within you is a Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. Come on. Who wants to have a flood of expectation of the glory of God running in his life? Come on. Oh, I'm going to get to you guys. I need more reaction for my Saskatchewan people. And Christian hope is not human hope. Human hope is I wish upon a star. You know, it's weak. Human hope is I wish, but I don't know. I'm not sure, but I wish. But biblical hope is way stronger than human hope. Come on. The word hope here in Greek means, come on, it means expectation. It's a confident anticipation. Come on. It's the waiting of what's sure. Come on. It's the firm assurance of a better day. Come on. Christ in me is the firm assurance of a better day. Come on. I need to look into your eyes, guys. Come on. If you're not more excited right now, take your pulse. I'm going to pray for resurrection right now. Come on. Christ in me is the firm assurance. Come on. It's expecting what's sure. There's another verse, Psalm, and we're going to walk on that verse also. Psalm 5, verse 2 and 3. King David here says, hear my cry for help. I call unto you, my King and my God, for to you I pray in the morning. Say in the morning. Now with more conviction. In the morning. Lord, you hear my voice. I did not ask you to repeat that part. I just said, in the morning. And Francis says, I prepare in the morning. Keep it up. I lay my request before you and I wait expectantly. Come on. And the word expectantly, I went in your English dictionary. And expectantly means an excited feeling that something is about to happen, especially something good. Come on. Every morning. There's another version that says, come on. I'm crying to you, my King and my God. Consider my every word, for I'm calling out to you at each and every sunrise. Say sunrise. Sunrise. Ah, you're there. You will hear my voice as I prepare my sacrifice of prayer to you. And every morning I lay out the pieces of my life on the altar and wait for your fire to fall on my heart. Come on. If you learn what King David learned, come on. If you learn that every morning, say every morning.
Every morning.
Not every night. The art of expecting is glory is actually starting your day expecting. You'll see more glory when you start in the morning. Ha 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 ha. You were not really expecting when we're sleeping and snoring. I believe there's a secret in King David's life. That's still a secret for us today. In the morning, I wake up. In the morning, I prepare, come on, an offering of prayer. Every morning, I lay down my life on the altar. The good, all the pieces. The verse says, all the pieces. The good, the bad, the ugly, the blessed, the broken. Every pieces of my life in the morning, I laid it down on the altar. And I wait with the expectation. Come on. Of something good will happen today. Come on. I'm telling you, if you start every morning with that kind of hope, we'll see a multiplication of God's glory happening in our days. Are you there? Are you start having hope rising right now? Oh, we're getting somewhere. Hallelujah. Come on. Each time I preach, I'm that close to a heart attack. Well, there's hope. There's hope. Do we have water? Do we have water? Oh, sorry, sorry. Oh, do you know that we have more expectancy in the natural than we think? We have capacity to have a joyful expectation in the natural. I hope so. If don't, you have probably a very boring life. Sorry. But there's expectation in the natural. Do you guys have expectation of something good would happen sometimes in life? Guys, did you expect your wedding with a joyful expectation? No, I'm not sure. Yeah. Come on. When there's a wedding, there's joyful expectation. We had 3 weddings and 2 summers in our family. Let me tell you, there was a high octane testosterone of joyful expectation in our family, all right? Let's be honest. Every 2 years, Ron and Joel will have understanding of what I'm saying. Every 2 years, my wife is allowing me to have a golf trip with my friends. Every 2 years, 600 whatever days, all right? And I'm the one organizing it, all right? And the week before, I know something good is about to happen. Hey, Ron. 8 days of golf, Ron. 8 days of golf. 2 games a day. Come on. Expectation. So I prepare. You know, when you expect, you're prepared. Hello, are you there this morning? When you expect in the natural, you prepare. When you expect a baby for 9 months, what do? You prepare. So when my golf trip is coming, come on. I'm washing my clubs 3 times in the same week. I'm sleeping with them. All right, Hannah, go on the other side of the bed, please. All right, my driver needs space, all right? I prepare all my little kikip, you know, my black pants with my white shirt with my blue pants. I'm like a little girl going to grandma for the first time in her life, all right? I'm just happy because I know something good's gonna happen. Come on. Imagine if we switch that to our spiritual expectation. Can I be honest? Most of us don't wake up in the morning intentionally enough to say, Lord, today I lay down all the pieces of my life on the altar and I will live expectantly for what's going to come in that day. When I expect, I prepare. And when I prepare, before seeing, I'm in faith. Are you there? But let's be honest. A lot of us are professional of expecting the worst. Ooh. We have university degrees of expecting the worst. You're laughing now. And it's funny, how can we expect the worst that did not happen more than the best that could happen? We don't want us to be disappointed. We don't want to live disappointment because we don't know how to live with disappointment. So we prepare for the worst. And when the worst happens, what do we say? Ha ha! Told you so! And now we think we're prophetic. We're not prophetic, we're pathetic. We have no hope. And I understand even King Solomon many years ago understood that what? Hope deferred, what? Makes the heart sick. He understood that many years ago. It did not change since then. In 2025, we know that when something is dragging too long, when the answer to a prayer is something to is waiting too long, what happens? Our heart becomes sick. But let's be honest. It should not happen to Christian. Why? Because Christ in me. Come on. Because, come on, Pastor Dave. You know that verse, I'm sure. Christ in me is the hope of glory. There's a river. There's a flood of hope in the midst of trouble, in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of disappointment. There's a river in me that floods me with hope, which is Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords. Come on. There's no way that Christians should be lacking hope. We have the, come on, eternal hope living in us. Oh, my. Oh, it's true. I got 8 minutes more. Hallelujah. Here's the thing. If I can see it, I can expect it. But if I can't see it, it's hard to expect it. Do you agree with that? Don't say amen, just say yeah, yeah, all right. And that's all the game of faith. When we can see it, we usually can expect it easily. But the game of faith is to start expecting, preparing, hoping without seeing yet. Does it make sense? And Jesus said this famous phrase, blessed are those who have not seen, but what? But yet have believed. Come on. Are you there this morning? Do you know the context of that story? Let's be honest. The disciples don't really have a great expectation for Jesus' resurrection. Let's be honest. Jesus prophesied it. Jesus did it. Jesus told them he will resurrect. But when the disciples arrived to the tomb and they saw that there was no body, what did they do? Did they rejoice? Oh, hallelujah. We knew it all the time. Come on. Jesus will resurrect. He told us. We believe it. Come on. It came true. Was that their reaction? No. Who stole the body? High level of expectation. Come on. Jesus came to the scene, go through the walls, come see the disciples. The disciples are rejoicing, but there's one problem. There's a guy missing. Thomas is not there. And when Thomas arrived after a couple hours, the disciples are all rejoicing. Come on, Thomas. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. We don't know what else to tell you. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. We saw it. Jesus is alive. And Thomas said the phrase that is known all over the world for the past 2,000 years. I will believe it when I see. I don't know the tone that he used, but anyway. Jesus wait 1 week. And then he come back to the scene. And he says, Thomas had the biggest object lesson in all the world. Thomas, put your finger in my hand. Put your hand in my side. Says, stop doubting and believe. And Thomas, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. You're believing because you're seeing. But bless are those. Come on. Bless are those that believing but not yet seeing. Come on. Do you know you're already doing that? You cannot get in salvation. You cannot get in a relationship with Jesus right now without seeing, without believing and not seeing. Does it make sense? Maybe I'm lost in my English right now. Anyway, I'm sure you're understanding what I'm saying. Come on. But we cannot only stop to our salvation. Every day we need to prepare, come on, and have expectation that even if I don't see yet the answer, I will walk with faith. I will walk like seeing, come on, even if I don't see it. Bless are those, come on. The word bless means in desirable position to receive the provision of God are those who believe and not see yet. Come on. Oh, are you there? We need hope. We need hope. Christians need high levels of hope. We cannot be hope pushers without hope. You'll go out of business pretty soon. Come on. And hope, if I can say it this way, hope is the train wagon between your need and your answer. Come on. Hope is the Uber between your promise and the accomplishment. Thank you, Joel. Congrats. Even Romans said, come on, you don't need hope when you already have what you need. You don't need hope anymore. But when you don't see it, let me read that verse. Come on. Romans 8:24 that says, for why will we need hope for something we already have? So, because our hope is set on what is yet to be seen, we patiently keep on waiting for its fulfillment. Come on. Hope is the car, come on, that I need to ride until, come on, the answer. Hope is what's bringing me from my situation to God's glory. Are you there? Do you understand what I'm saying? And looking and seeing is not the same thing. There's a lot of people that look at stuff but don't see anything. Especially men in the fridge. Come on, woman, you can laugh. We'll be humble. We look at the ketchup, but we don't see it. I'll let you that sink in for a few seconds. All the men receive an elbow right now. You see? You see your problem? He's talking about you right now. And human, they look a lot, but they don't see a lot. Hello there. There's two men that were in front of an old orange plantation, a dead orange plantation. And the first one just saw what he was looking at. He said, there's nothing to do. It's so sad. It's a dead orange plantation. There's nothing to do with that. He saw what he was looking at. But the other guy says, no, no, no. It's all I always wanted. And here, you know what we're going to do? Here, we're going to put a big castle. And here, we're going to put roller coasters. Come on. And that field, that old orange dead plantation became what's today the biggest, come on, playground in all the world, which is what? Disney World. Disneyland. Disney in Florida. I know there's two, but anyway, the one in Florida. There one that was looking and only saw what he was looking, and the other one was able to see over what he was looking at. Come on. Can I tell you something? Can I tell you something? We need to stop complaining in the season that we are in and stop expecting the next season that we don't see yet, but that God is preparing, come on the other side of the veil. too much. We're looking at what it's in front of us. And let's be honest. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it's difficult. But we only looking at what we're seeing in front of us instead, come on, of starting expecting. And sometimes my mind wants to speak faster than my English mouth. Sorry. And sometimes we complain too much of the season that we are in. Instead of complaining of the season that you're seeing and looking at right now, start asking, Lord, I don't know why I'm going through this one, but I'm looking and praying and expecting the next season. Come on, the good thing that will happen in the next season of my life. Come on. I don't know why I got that event in my life. I don't know why there's disease. I don't know why I got that accident, but I will stop complaining of the season that I'm in right now. I will start expecting what God is preparing for the next season of my life. Come on. Come on. You're slowly getting to clapping. I don't know if you hear yourself. Eh? Come on. When you clap, you need to be decisive. All right. Come on. One day, Abraham had no son. The other day, he was the father of a great nation. Come on. One day, King David. Come on. One day King David was a forgotten shepherd. The other day, he was the king of a great nation. Come on. One day, Ruth was gleaning in a field. The other day, she was owning the field. Come on. Don't judge. Don't judge the season you are in, but what you're looking at. Come on. Start expecting something good will happen in the next day. All right. Wow, I'm doing good. Five things. Get your phone out. Get your paper out. Don't check the score. There's no game this morning. No golf also. Five things, all right? Five things. I want you to remember Psalm 5, verse 2 and 3. Say it with me. Every morning, I wake up, I prepare my little coffee for coffee drinkers, and I lay down all the pieces of my life on the altar, and I wait with a joyful expectation. Come on, first thing. Divine intervention in my life. Come on. The word wait means to be on the lookout. When I wake up in the morning, the first thing I do is I lay down all the pieces of my life on the altar. Do we really want to live owning all the pieces of our lives? Are you there? Yeah. We want to live in such an humble way that every care, every problem, every situation, every success, every morning I laid it down on the altar and I'm on the lookout. I just don't wait like waiting to the bus stop. Waiting in the Bible is not passive. Waiting in the Bible is I'm on the lookout for divine intervention. Come on. God did not save us through Jesus Christ and then saying to us, all right, do it by yourself until I come back. God is still moving in our day. God is still intervening. God is still intervening. God is still moving in our lives today. Come on, if you don't have any expectation, probably you won't see it. But if you engage your faith, if you engage hope in your life, if you engage expectation, you're going to see divine intervention at the right moment in your life. Come on. Come on. We need to hope. We need our hope level to rise, guys. Come on. I call them kisses from a good God. I have a good news for you and a bad news for me, and a bad news for you and a good news for me, all right? In my life, I'm the president of the club of the favorite child of God. In my life. So that means in my life, you're not the president of the favorite child of God. I am. The bad news for me is that in your life, you're the president of God's favorite child of God. Come on. We are all God's favorite child. Come on. There's no one less love. There's no one more love. Come on. We are all, come on, the president of the favorite child of God in our own life. And God wants to bring favor and love and goodness. Come on. And blessing. Come on. One day, we bought a car, a big truck. I love big trucks. I love big trucks. I could live in Saskatchewan and have big trucks. I will fit in Saskatchewan. But we had no money to buy that car, but we had 3 kids. And the best way to have no kids to fight in a car, what do? You buy a big truck, all right? They don't see each other when you go to church. All right. It was very expensive. We had no money. But 1 week later, somebody called me. He said, Joel, I don't know why. I wake up this morning. Come on. And I believe I need to pay all the bill for your truck. Come on. President, president of the favorite child of God. And I'll call this. Kisses? Kisses from a good God. Hoily, hoily, hoily. All right, I got air more minutes. Don't look at the clock. I got air more minutes. American minutes. All right. All right, second, every morning, say it with me, every morning, I prepare my little coffee, and I lay down all the pieces of my life on the altar, and I wait for breakthroughs. Come on. I wait with breakthroughs. Come on. The idea of breakthroughs is like a new birth. It's the idea of the baby coming out of the womb, going through the placenta. Let's all say it together. Placenta. It's almost Spanish. And placenta. And the idea of breakthroughs is coming to something new. The idea of breakthroughs is that you were limited. There were obstruction, but God isn't making. God is making a way. Come on. Micah 2:13 says this. The one who breaks open the way will go up before them. Come on. Let's talk about God before Israel. He's a Baal Parazim. He's the God of breakthroughs. He's the one that's making a way where there's no way. Come on. He's the one that's making a space where there's no space. Ha ha ha. Imagine waking up every morning with that kind of expectation. Who needs a financial breakthrough? Only you guys. What's happening? Who needs relational breakthroughs? Ooh. Who needs decisional breakthroughs? Come on, we all need breakthroughs all the time. First thing. Divine intervention. Second thing, breakthroughs. Third thing, surplus living. And I'm not talking about this one, all right? Six months. We We don't, God, come on. The enemy came, John 10, 10. The enemy came what? To steal, destroy, and kill. But God came to give us life and life abundantly. Other version will say more than you can expect. God comes, Jesus comes to give life, and he gave it more than you can expect. So you, if you start rising your expectancy, God can overdo your expectancy. Come on. And all over the Bible, we have surplus living. Come on. We have peace more than that surpasses. All understanding. We have joy. Come on. That this world cannot know. Come on. The Romans says we have hope overflowing. Come on. We have strength. All in the Bible, Jesus came to give us, come on, life and life more abundantly. We are surplus living so we can give. Even financially, Corinthians say, you have more than enough, so what? You can give. You know what's the problem? We're surrounded with a spirit of lack in this world. And sometimes it creeps in the church. It creeps in our own life. And we have fear of giving what we have, and we don't realize you won't have more if you don't give. When you stop giving, you stop the flow of miracle in your life. I'm preaching very well right now, all right? Very, very well. The French guy is preaching very, very well right now, okay? But we are under a spirit of lack. Do you remember what happened at the start of COVID? You remember? You don't remember. It's too far now. There's a spirit of lack that came all over the planet at once. There was a guy at Costco in front of the toilet paper rack. And I said, I don't know what's going to happen in next week on the planet, but I think I need toilet paper right now. So the first guys take three roll, you know, maximum at Costco for one person. And the other guy says, see that guy? Says, smart man. And the other guy says, that's a good idea. In the next season, I think we'll need more toilet paper. And all over the planet, there was no toilet paper anywhere because the human came under a big spirit of lack at the same time. It's like we said, I don't care. I don't care if I die of COVID. But if I die of COVID, I will die with a clean butt. We know our priorities in life. Come on, we're not under spirit of lack. We are under spirit of abundance. Come on, say amen. All right, quickly, four. I expect miracles. The same Holy Spirit that worked in the book of Acts is the same Holy Spirit, come on, that lives today and work in our lives. We can wake up in the morning and expect miracles. And the last and fifth things, I expect open doors. I expect open doors. Don't go buy toilet paper after the service, all right? You guys are still thinking about that. Come on, I expect open doors. The angel to the church of Philadelphia said, I know all that you've done. Now I have set before you a wide open door that no one can shut. Come on. God wants to bring open doors in your life. Come on, let's be honest. The moment you're going to put the knob of the door of your destiny, what I call dogs of dooms will start barking at you. I don't know if Pastor Dave, you lived that in your ministry, in your life. But every time God puts a door in front of you, the moment you want to get in that door of opportunity in your life, you're going to feel the dog of doom start barking at you. Fear will start barking at you. Insecurities. Oh. We'll say, you cannot do it. Are you really called? And dog of doom will start barking to stop you to enter into your destiny. And many of us at different occasions, sometimes we went in, sometimes we were so scared by the dogs of doom barking at us. Yeah, we missed our doors of opportunities for our life. Can I be honest with you? If you open the light of the Word of God, you will realize that those dogs of doom barking at you are only little chihuahuas with megaphones. And you can give them, set a big kick in the butt. Come on. And tell them, move in Jesus' name. You have no place in my life. Come on. The anointing came right now. Romans, I'm finishing with that. Romans 15:13 in the Amplified Version says that, may the God of hope, I will even say the God that floods me with hope and expectation, will fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith, believing without seeing, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will abound in hope. Who wants to abound in hope this morning? And overflow with confidence in His promises. Come on, Harvest City Church, you're pushers. All right, let's close our eyes. Let's close our eyes rapidly. Whoa. I cannot leave this place without giving the opportunity of someone or anybody to receive Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you say, Joel, I never lived being forgiven of my sins before. I never understood or the fact that Jesus Christ died for me at the cross. If this morning you want to know the hope of all hope, the beautiful hope that death had no power on us through Jesus Christ anymore. If you want to live that life and know that life, and you say, Joel, I want to be forgiven of my sin. I want to understand the hope that Christ lives in me. If it's you this morning, while all the eyes are closed, can you just lift your hand if it's you? I see. Yes. Keep it up. Keep it up. One hand, two hands. Come on. Three and four ends. Come on. Five. Come on. Come on, Jesus. Six. Come on. Any other people? Don't miss the opportunity. Come on. Seven. Eight. Come on, Jesus. There's a party right now. Come on, in Jesus. Let me pray for you in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that this hope fill their heart right now. Repeat after me, everyone, please. Everyone, the people that raised their hand, all the church. Jesus, this morning, I give my life to you. Come and live in me. I ask you forgiveness for all my sins. Come and transform me. Fill me with that hope. Don't let me be the same. Change me forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, can we clap for those eight people this morning? Come on. All right, rapidly. All right, I'm fire altar call right now. If you're having a heart sick right now, you're going through something very hard, or maybe not very hard, but you know your heart is sick, can you just raise your hand? Everywhere you go. Come on. I know there's many people. Sometimes we don't realize how stuff affects us. Some people right now, you live something like 10 years ago, but you still have a heart sick. And you cannot rejoice or be full of hope. Please raise your hand. Keep your eyes closed, guys. People are scared to raise their hand right now. Come on, raise your hand very, very high, very high. Come on. Come on, it's your day of deliverance. Come on, be full of hope and audacity in raising your hand. In Jesus' name, come on. In Jesus' name, we broke off every heart sick right now in this place. And we call for the love of God to flow right now on those people's lives, Jesus. And every lie of the enemy that came in and that brought despair, that brought deception, that brought depression, we say go in Jesus' name. And we call for freedom. We call for peace. We call for joy to overflow in the power of the Holy Spirit. Some, you're dragging something for so many years, and I believe today is your day of salvation. Today is your day of favor from the Lord. So God, we give everything to you. We put all the pieces. Say it with me, Jesus. Say it with me, Jesus. I'm giving you all the pieces of my life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on. Can we clap for Jesus this morning?
Wow. Why don't you stand to your feet this morning, church? We're going to dismiss you. Thank you so much, Joel. The Lord has spoken to us.